Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of Gospel on the Go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we're going to be talking about the following topic. Saved from what? We often hear in Christianity, come to Jesus, you need to be saved. We would agree with that. But the question is, what are people saved from? Better yet, who are people saved from? Saved from what? Well, many people preach that, hey, if you come to Jesus, he will save you from an empty, lonely life here on earth. Is that what Jesus saved you from? Is that the main reason that he went to the cross? To save us from an empty, lonely life? Others say, well, you come to Jesus and you'll be saved from staying single. He'll find you a spouse. You'll be saved from financial distress. He'll fix your finances. You'll be saved from all the problems you've been dealing with. Come to Jesus, and he will save you from all those things here on earth that are not working out for you. Is that why Jesus saves us? No. If you want to write this down, let's answer our question, saved from what, in the following way. You have been saved by, you have been saved from, and you have been saved for. Three key words that theologians often used to talk about salvation. You have been saved by God. You have been saved, ready? From God. And you have been saved for God. Let me add a couple more words to this. You have been saved by God and his grace. You have been saved from God and his holy wrath, and you have been saved for God and his glory. Do you see it? And so let's open our Bibles. Let's go to Romans and let's kind of put some scripture around this to make sure that we completely understand what we are saved from. Romans chapter 3. Why are we saved by God and God alone? In other words, why can't we save ourselves? Well, Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 10, the Apostle Paul, in the power of the Holy Spirit, quotes from Old Testament scripture, and he says, well, just as it is written, there's none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. According to God's standard of good, there's not even one. You see, we have to be saved by God and his grace, because we cannot save ourselves. We come into this world physically alive, but spiritually dead, because we all inherited a sin nature from Adam and Eve. A sin nature that causes us to be hostile towards God, haters of God, wanting nothing to do with God, and never looking for God. We're dead people walking. We're hostile, wretched sinners. And we continually sin against our holy, righteous, and just God, who says that the punishment for one sin, eternal damnation. So we come into this world with a sin nature, and we continually pile up more and more and more sins in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds against a God who is just and must punish sin. And so God has to save us. We can't save ourselves. No amount of our good efforts, no amount of our religiosity, no amount of morality can pay for our sins. We can't save ourselves. We need to be saved. Point number one, by God and His grace. Hop over to Romans chapter 5. Again, starting in verse 6, Paul declares, while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died. For whom? The ungodly. Christ died for helpless, ungodly people, like you and me. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare to even die. But God, verse 8, demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. By the way, notice the words describing us. Verse 6, we were helpless. End of verse 6, we were ungodly. Verse 8, we were sinners. Yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Saved from what? Well, first we have to understand that we've been saved by God and His sovereign saving grace. Why couldn't we save ourselves? We were helpless, ungodly, wretched sinners who could not save ourselves. We were on a highway to hell. But praise God, we have been saved by God and His grace, right? But what have we been saved from? Well, stay in Romans 5, the next verse. After in verse 8, Paul declares, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, he says, much more then, having now been justified, declared by God, not guilty, and righteous in His sight, not because of us, but because of Christ's perfect righteousness, credited, imputed to our account. So that when God looks at us, Christian, He sees the perfect righteousness of Christ on our account. And therefore, God can declare there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because we've been saved by God in His grace. Much more then, having now been justified, how? By Christ's blood, His death, burial, and resurrection, we shall be saved. What does that say? From the wrath of God through Him. Do you see it? You, Christian, have been saved by God and by God alone. You did not contribute to your salvation. You did not earn your salvation. And we did not deserve our salvation. But we have been saved by God and His amazing grace. And we also have been saved from God and His just eternal wrath. Again, having now been justified by Christ's blood, We shall be saved from what? An empty, boring life? A bad job? Financial distress? No. What have we been saved from? Who have we been saved from? We've been saved from the wrath of God through Christ. Verse 10. If while we were enemies, by the way, let's add that to our little list. We were helpless. We were ungodly. We were wretched sinners. And we were enemies of God. We hated God. Yet, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. How? Through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. Christian, point number one. You have been saved by God and His amazing grace. Point number two, you have been saved from God and His just eternal wrath. You see, Jesus Christ, the perfect God-man, lived a perfect, sinless life, fulfilling all righteousness. He never sinned once. He perfectly obeyed the law. And then He went to the cross, the place where you and I should have been, because we're the sinners. But instead, Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, was the perfect substitute where our sins that we committed were placed on Christ. And then God's wrath, which we deserve, was poured out on Christ instead of on us. Christ declared, paid in full. He died, but 3 days later He rose in victory, overcoming sin and death for us. And through Christ, we have forgiveness of sins in terms of that day of judgment. Through Christ, we who once were enemies of God have now been reconciled to God. We have the free gift of eternal life. We've been adopted into God's family. We have been saved by God and His grace. We have been saved from God and His wrath. Because Jesus Christ not only paid for our sins in full in terms of that day of judgment, Jesus Christ also perfectly appeased, satisfied, the theological term propitiated, God's wrath. God's wrath was poured out on Christ. That wrath that was reserved for me throughout all eternity, and that wrath which I deserve. But instead, the Father in His love poured it out on His Son. And Jesus perfectly satisfied, appeased the Father's wrath towards me. So that on that day of judgment, I don't have to fear God's wrath. Why? Because Christ not only paid for my sins in full, He also appeased, satisfied God's wrath. Right? And so, we've been saved by God in His grace, from God in His wrath, and for God and His glory. Again, verse 10, while we were enemies, if while we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God. How? Through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And here it is, verse 11. And not only this, we who have been saved by God and from God, we now live for God and we exalt in God, right? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation, right? We can take no credit for our salvation. The only thing we've contributed are our sins. But look what God has done in His mercy and grace. He did for us that which we could never do for ourselves. Why? Because we were helpless, ungodly, wretched sinners who were enemies of God. We weren't looking for God. We wanted nothing to do with God. But God, in His grace, saved us. We've been saved by God and from God and His just wrath. And as a result, we live for God and His most deserved glory. We exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, right? When you understand that you couldn't have saved yourself, when you understand the condition you were in, and when you understand who saved you and what you have been saved from, what is your natural response? Praise, glory, gratitude, exaltation, right? You see, as I said at the beginning, so many people think that Jesus saves us from, you know, all kinds of earthly problems we deal with. Again, loneliness, financial problems, boredom, empty life that doesn't seem to be working out. Well, wait a second. Is that going to cause you to exalt Him? Is that going to cause you to drop to your knees and put your face on the ground and just worship and adore your triune God if you think He simply just saved you from a weak bank account? But if you understand who saved you and what you have been saved from, God's eternal, holy, just wrath? Whoa! All you want to do is live for God, bring glory to God, exalt in God. Because of who He is, because of what He's done for you, and because of what He has saved you from. You have been saved by God in His grace, you have been saved from God in His wrath, and you have been saved for God and His glory. Does that make sense? And by the way, let's turn real quick to Revelation chapter 14. Boy, I tell you, for some of you listening, maybe this is the first time you're actually going, oh, that's right. I was facing God's wrath in hell. You see, a lot of people, they actually think that those in hell are going to experience, ready? The devil's wrath. They think that those in hell are going to be punished by Satan. Do you know how absolutely unbiblical that is? Satan will not be pouring out his wrath in hell. Satan will be the recipient of God's holy, just wrath in hell. Does that make sense? In fact, let's just read here in Revelation 14. Starting in verse 9, where John, the Apostle John, in his vision, he says, then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast, i.e. the Antichrist, and his image, and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, this is a non-believer who worships Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, you know what's going to happen to that person? Verse 10. He will drink of the wine of the wrath of God. This is a picture of hell. A non-believer, a person who blasphemes God, who denies Christ, and who spits and mocks on the Holy Spirit, this person who wants nothing to do with God, or these people who want nothing to do with God, they actually think, well, it's okay if I'm in hell. Yeah, Satan will do something to me a little bit, but eventually he'll get bored. Really? No. Satan will not be pouring out wrath. He doesn't have wrath for people who worship him. He doesn't have wrath towards sin. Because he's not perfectly holy. He's not God. Only the holy, holy, holy triune God is wrathful towards lawlessness. And only the holy, holy, holy triune God pours out his just wrath throughout eternity. And so we've got this picture here. People in hell will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. Non-believers here on earth, even though they blaspheme God, even though they are idolaters and they want nothing to do with God, nevertheless, God generally provides mercy to them. It's called common grace, where God allows for both believers and non-believers to experience rain, the sunshine, the air to breathe. It's called common grace, where God generally bestows grace here on earth to all people. Special saving grace is reserved for the elect, those who are brought to Christ and are saved by God in his grace, from God in his wrath, and for God in his glory. That's called special grace. Well, here, Scripture tells us that in hell, no more mercy. None. Again, God's wrath, which is mixed in full strength. No mercy mixed in, like non-believers get now here on earth. God's wrath, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger, and people in hell will be tormented with fire and brimstone. Well, that's okay, people say. At least I won't be in the presence of God. I didn't want anything to do with God on earth. If I've got to go through that in hell, as long as I don't have anything to do with God. People in hell will be tormented with fire and brimstone. Ready? In the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. God is omnipresent, gang. Fully present everywhere at the same time. And in hell, God's wrath will be manifested in full. And the smoke of their torment will go up forever and ever. They'll have no rest, no reprieve, nothing, day and night throughout all eternity. Those who decided they wanted nothing to do with God, who mocked God, and who did not submit to God's Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a pretty picture, is it? Christian, do you see what and who you have been saved from? Christian, we all, at one time, before we were saved by God in his grace, were on a highway to hell, and we were facing what I just read to you in Revelation 14, right? And yet, look what God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has done for us. Saved from what? An empty life? A boring life? Financial problems? What? No, we have been saved by God and His grace. We have been saved from God and His wrath. And we have been saved for God and His glory. And that's why, back to Romans as I conclude, chapter 11, Paul's great and wonderful doxology, a hymn of praise, after talking for 11 chapters about how it's impossible for us to save ourselves, and yet talking also about God's most amazing grace in saving powerless, wretched sinners who are enemies of God. After declaring the bad news and then the good news, Paul concludes this section at the end of chapter 11 with his doxology, verses 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who became His counselor? No one. Or who has first given to Him that it might be paid back to Him again? No one. Because, verse 36, from Him and through Him and to Him are all things, and to Him be glory forever and ever. And all of God's people say, Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.